Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus called the 12 of his disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits that they may drive them out. The authority over unclean spirits, what does that mean? What are the unclean spirits? Is it something that was present at that time alone? Or is it perhaps something that exists today? Do unclean spirits exist today? Perhaps they also exist in us. Yes, we are often slaves of unclean spirits. They rule in us, over us, and in us. Let's take, for example, negative feelings, negative thoughts. Let's take an example, especially the negative feeling like hatred, but also other feelings. Let's take jealousy, envy. Or somebody injures us, wounds us. The negative feelings are freed within us and they overtake control of us. And they make our inside unclean. Our inside is clean when there is love in it. It is said, blessed are pure of heart. They shall see God. Impure spirits. That's an impure inside. An inside that is unclean, impure. A heart that is impure. Then the impurity does not allow us to see things right. And that is why we don't see well. A person in whom the impure spirit has come to rule and has been contaminated by that person cannot see well. Then his gaze is unclean. Just like when you have your windshield on your car that is dirty, you cannot see well, you have to clean it. Because we're going to crash, we're going to go the wrong way if we don't clean our windshield. Jesus said, when your eye is light, your entire body is light. When your eye is dark, your entire body is dark. Under this eye, Jesus means something more profound, not just your physical eyes. That is why Jesus does not think about digging out our physical eye when he speaks about if your eye causes you to sin, then dig it, then pluck it out. He's thinking about something much more profound. He's thinking about the heart. When in your heart there is light, there is love, your whole body is light, you see everything in the right way. You see that it's clean. When your heart is unclean by negative thoughts, negative, then you see in the wrong way. You see wrongly. You only see details. Jesus gives to the disciples the authority to help people, to free them from the power of the unclean spirits, and that is mercy. Mercy towards others. Dear brother priests, during these days to the seminar, we enter into that mystery. The mystery of God's mercy, calling us to be such, to go to others, and that is mercy towards others. to liberate others, to free them. Remember the people from our own surroundings and know that they are under the authority of impure spirits. Perhaps you yourselves have been there, or others have, that we know have that person or the family is in conflict, for example, with somebody else, with another family. Among them, hatred rules. Their hearts are not clean. There, an unclean spirit rules. These people do not see well. Their gaze is muddied. It is dirtied. It is contaminated. And they look through that lack of cleanliness, impurity. How to be cleansed? How to be free of the unclean spirit? The help has to be from the outside. That is why Jesus sent the disciples to go, and that they from the outside may be able to help the people to be free. We cannot help ourselves. Sometimes we cannot help ourselves. When a person has such great hatred and negative feelings, he is in prison. He is completely occupied. He doesn't see or hear anything. He only is listening to his own thoughts, and these thoughts are negative. His thoughts bombard him. They give him an argument against the other person. He only goes to listen to his own feelings, which are negative. That is why somebody from outside has to come and say to him, "Friend, you are not free. You are imprisoned. You are a marionette in the hands of ego." In that way, you free him. You help him to come outside of the prison, outside the circle of ego. You speak the truth to him about himself. And Jesus says, "The truth will set you free." The truth opens his eyes, and that may help him to come outside the prisons. I myself have experienced how this can help people to understand the real truth, that they are slaves, real slaves of negative thoughts and negative feelings that contaminate their inside, that influence the way they see and they think, that they do not see well. It is possible that something exists that is negative in the other person, but that's not all. That's not the entirety. There are certainly also the good characteristics. I do not see them. I don't want to see them. I cannot see them. I need to be freed. Sometimes even somebody's word cannot help me. Then we need something stronger. We need prayer. Prayer of liberation. Truly, prayer of liberation might be necessary because the person is so caught up inside that they cannot be freed. Jesus sends the disciples. To whom? He sends them to the lost. Don't go to these or those, but those who are lost. And we're interested to see, how does God behave to the lost? What is God's attitude towards those who have become lost, have gone off the right road? Jesus says to them, "Go to the lost." That is the option of God. That is God's attitude. Jesus' heart is erected to them. He cares about them. He thinks of them. His heart is with them. Misericordia, to have the heart with those who are poor. How does God behave towards the prodigal son? He waits for him. He comes to meet him. He receives him into his home. Jesus desires also that his disciples and us have such a heart, such a broad heart, that receives and accepts and brings into his home and gives his space in his own life to the person who is lost. And Jesus does not only want us to receive him, but also for us to go to them. Not only are we to receive the person who is lost, but also we are sent to go to the others to seek them out. That we consciously set out to look for them. Now we will go in our thoughts, we will set out towards them. We ask around who is lost. Then we are like the God who seeks the lost sheep. Then we are like him who looks for the lost drachma and rejoices when he finds it. He really rejoices when the prodigal son comes back. This is how Jesus desires for us to be. He says, preach on the way. The kingdom of God and heaven is at hand. Proclaim, God is near. The kingdom of God is near. God is here. He is not far. You thought he was far. He is not far. God is here and God is now. That is why, with the proclamation of the kingdom of God, there is also the call to conversion. When Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God, he right away calls to conversion and to believe. Convert and believe in the gospel. Convert. Open yourself. Do not remain of hardened heart. Do not remain with cemented attitudes and thoughts of knowledge about God or man. Open yourselves. Change the way you think. Ludwig Wittgenstein, born from Austria, said, if you have a problem with the concept of God and you're angry with him, if you're angry because things are not clear to you, connected to him, that's okay. But the problem is not in God, but it's in your impression of God. You must change that impression. You must correct yourself. Brothers and sisters, our call to conversion. God is near. God is here. That is why we celebrate the Eucharist.